And welcome back. This is The Point, and it's the news roundup when we discuss the top news stories of the week. I'm Sean Corcoran. With me in our Woods Hole studio here at WCAI is George Brennan. He's a reporter at the Cape Cod Times and Cape Cod Online. On the phone is Nelson Siegelman, the managing editor at the Martha's Vineyard Times. Hello, Nelson.
Good morning.
Big news, bowling alley coming to Oak Bluffs, huh?
Bowling alley, that's right. It's funny that I suppose that a bowling alley would create such a stir, but in fact it does.
It was just last week you did a story on what young people do all year round on the island. I guess this would add another activity to the mix?
Yes, well, it's funny. I want to say, I'm not sure, it was perhaps about 10 years ago or 11, 12 years ago, somebody did open up a bowling alley in Vineyard Haven, and it was popular for a couple of years, but for a variety of reasons, he wasn't able to make it financially viable, but we had teams. My wife was on one of the teams, and it was a fun activity for people, and I remember the lead-up to that. There was a lot of discussion, a lot of excitement. So this sounds like a real good project. The fellow behind it, Sam Dunn, has quite a track record on the Vineyard. He's developed a couple of different properties. He seems to know what he's doing, so we can assume that he's not doing this just because he's excited about bowling, but he plans it to be a really successful venture. And, it'll be bowling. There'll be a restaurant and a bar there. It'll have some affordable apartments over it. So I suppose the people who move in there won't have to. Hopefully there'll be bowlers as well. So
right
now it's past the first hurdle, which is the town planning board. Now it goes to our regional permitting body, the Martha's Vineyard Commission.
So I guess they're looking at 10 lanes, and I like what he was saying about making it a really multi-generational type of place with the atmosphere there. Let's move on to the Monster Shark Tournament. We all were paying close attention when Steve James passed away. He's been the driving force behind this Monster Shark Tournament. There was some suspicions it might be leaving the Vineyard. Actually, it looked like that was pretty much a done deal. What's happening now?
Well, yes, Steve James said that he was considering taking the tournament out of to Newport, Rhode Island, and he never confirmed that, though. Interestingly, before his death in a tragic duck hunting accident earlier this month, he and another fellow died, but it was not confirmed, and so there was a possibility it would remain. He was upset because Oak Bluffs was adding significant charges to the cost of running the tournament, mostly for police and ambulance service and this sort of thing. And now a fellow, Jim Crydell, he's a seasonal resident in Edgartown. He's from Connecticut. He began talking last week about maintaining the tournament, but in a different form. And in his comments, he's certainly been sensitive to the fact that the tournament generated some opposition from folks in Oak Bluffs and the island who were either upset with the circus-like atmosphere when they weighed in sharks or just the fact that people were fishing for sharks. So we'll see where this goes, but it's generating, as you can imagine, plenty of interest on all sides.
Yeah, he was saying, I was reading your story, he was saying how, look, we're not going to be displaying the shark heads on the boats anymore. We're not going to be hanging the sharks for long periods of time. We'll get the biologists in there to do their work after we weigh them. And there, I guess it's only three sharks that they will weigh, the Mako, the Thresher, and the Poor Beagle sharks, which are all edible sharks.
Yes, well, you know, to be fair, that's pretty much been the case in the past as well. I mean, you know, the Steve James was many things, but he wasn't stupid. So the sharks that were brought in were all generally sharks that they could send to market. There were limitations. There were minimum size limits. I think last year they only brought 12 sharks to the dock. And people gather there because, in fact, they like seeing the sharks when they're weighed, you know, on the scale. So he would weigh them, and that was the big excitement part for the crowd. And then they'd bring them down, and the biologists would go at it. As for the other aspects of it, I think that's probably been overemphasized, to tell you the truth, in terms of what really went on. So, he's trying to say all the right things, and he has to in order to win favor with town leaders. And if he carries through, I think it'll make for a different tournament.
Let's talk about the Vineyard Nurse, the Vineyard Nursing Association, the VNA, and these are the folks that go into people's homes and help them when they're recovering or if they need assistance. Now, that organization has had some troubles, and it looks like Cape Cod Healthcare is going to step in.
Yes, this is a pretty major story, really, in terms of healthcare on the island. As you can imagine, on Martha's Vineyard, you don't have a lot of choices. We have one hospital, we have one visiting nurse association, and they had really hit a rocky patch in terms of finances, and a lot of this is the shakeout that we see all across the country in terms of healthcare. They were, the reimbursements had been cut in some categories, so they were in debt close to, it's hard to say exactly, but certainly almost $2 million, and with no bright light in sight. So this acquisition by the Cape Cod Healthcare, which is a very large, very financially sound institution, will certainly help them out, and we're told it will also help out folks on the Vineyard who rely on the services of the Vineyard Nursing Association.
So Cape Cod's healthcare is VNA of Cape Cod will take over the building there. Any idea about when things will shuffle around?
Well, this is all the papers are supposed to be signed sometime in February. You know, how the transition will actually play out, I suppose, you know, remains to be seen. But we can assume, at least we're told, that it's going to be a fairly seamless transition. Certainly for the people who rely on these services, we do hope so.
Okay, Nelson Siegelman is the managing editor at the Martha's Vineyard Times. He joins us here each week on the News Roundup. Thank you so much, Nelson. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And with me in our Woods Hole studio is George Brennan. George, we were talking about shellfish just a little while ago, and there was a story this week about the Oyster Fest. And what's the Oyster Fest doing now?
Well, they're hiring a full-time shellfish specialist to help them out because there have been several incidents both on the Cape and off the Cape having to do with foodborne bacteria causing illness in shellfish. So the Shellfish Promotion and Tasting, that's an interesting acronym, SPAT, is going to spend up to $100,000 annually to help growers, harvesters, wholesalers deal with the best safe handling practices of shellfish. You know, and you think $100,000, that's a lot of money. But shellfish experts tell us that the industry brings $2 to $3 million to the town of Wellfleet every year. Of course, Wellfleet known for its oysters, and so you know it seems like a no brainer for them to want to make sure that the people who enjoy their oysters are doing it in a healthy way.
Well, the concern would be if you have one oyster farmer who wasn't doing what should have been done or not enough oversight going on, what have you, the state could come in and shut down the entire fishery in Wellfleet. What a blow that would be to that community.
Absolutely. And in some cases, they have, in various parts of the state, had to shut down the shellfish beds for at least a period of time in order to deal with the issues. Apparently, hot weather is particularly bad for shellfish in terms of breeding this particular bacteria that affects them.
So it's the town of Wellfleet that's funding this position. Is that right? Is that clear? I thought it was.
Yeah, I think it is. Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's talk about a story in today's paper, China Palace, which is a Chinese food restaurant in the town of Sandwich. I was interested because they're being sanctioned, and it's quite a sanction.
Right, it's a 60-day suspension that they received from the Board of Selectmen last night. Actually, the police chief wanted the license revoked. This is China Palace's seventh violation since 2008, and some of them have been very serious. Now, last night's wasn't quite as serious, and Selectmen acknowledged that it wasn't quite as serious, and there was some they used the word murky to describe the evidence. This particular woman left the restaurant, went outside, backed into another car, and police were called. And when police came, they They noticed a strong smell of alcohol. The woman admitted to having a Mai Tai inside. What turned things last night was a bystander who told Selectman he didn't know the woman. He didn't know people in the restaurant. He didn't know the bartender. He said that this woman only drank half the Mai Tai. She seemed perfectly fine when she left the restaurant. And so the attorney for China Palace made the case. Look, she was upset. She got in an accident. All of a sudden she has police officers questioning her about her sobriety. They have guns on their hips. So maybe this was more about her being nervous than being drunk. But the Board of Selectmen said, we trust our police officers. They're trained to know if someone has had too much to drink. They testified that they believed that she was intoxicated. There was no breathalyzer, you know, which sometimes is a deciding factor. And so they decided, look, we're not going to revoke it at this point based on this incident, but the history does come into play. And so they gave a pretty significant punishment, a 60-day suspension. The last time, which was just in September, the board gave the restaurant a 15-day suspension.
Wow, 60 days, that could destroy a business, not that it wasn't founded. But, you know, what's interesting is when you go around, you cover different communities, some communities seem to be really on top of these things. In other communities, you don't hear about any restaurants ever being sanctioned for anything or being called on the mat. It seems like Sandwich, and they've had other restaurants in Sandwich that have attracted the attention of officials there. Well,
Chief Wack has made it clear that he wants these restaurants to follow the alcohol laws.
Sure.
And one of those laws is that you do not serve or overserve someone. You know, a person comes into your place of establishment and they already have some alcohol in them. He says that, you know, the bartender ought to be able to recognize that and limit the amount that the patron is being served. So part of it is his background and him wanting to enforce this particular law. You know, I can't speak to other communities, but he did lobby for another establishment that had multiple offenses to have their license revoked, and it was indeed revoked.
Yeah, and that business is no longer there.
That business is no longer there. There's a new business there, they're trying to rebuild. You know, it's hard when you're in a location that has a certain reputation,
right,
but it's a totally different type of restaurant. So,
well, I think there's a strong argument to be made that Cape Cod has a big drunken driving problem. If you drive on 28 after 9 o'clock on a weekend, I mean, you're taking your life in your hands. Have a conversation with a police officer. They know just how big this problem is, and I'm not sure it's always locals. People come here. This is the party place, and it gets pretty scary on the roads at night. Let's talk about, Sandwich seems to be pretty progressive sometimes, with particularly in the police department here. We're just talking about they're really clamping down on this over-serving. And they also seem to be concerned about their officers and what they go through. You wrote a story this week about peers, officers helping each other kind of deal with some of the traumatic things that they see and experience on a fairly regular basis.
You know, we don't think about police officers in this light very often. We think about them coming up behind us with blue lights and those types of things, but they go to the scenes of some pretty horrifying things. And this particular sergeant, Sergeant Josh Bound, who I interviewed this week, he came up with this idea to have a peer support team at Sandwich Police Department. And he says, you know, look, we're not pioneers here. There are other departments out there doing this, but we need to do this for our department. Sandwich has had some pretty significant issues with some of their officers, off-duty incidents, involving drunken driving and other issues. And Cape Cod has had that in other departments. And We don't always know, but in some of the circumstances, we've learned that they've gone through some traumatic issues. Barnstable police officer who I wrote about a couple of years ago, he had had a gun pulled on him a couple of times. And, you know, in the case of Josh Bound in Sandwich, he had a baby die in his arms.
Oh.
Which, you know, you can't think of anything more horrifying than that. And what he said was he recognized that he was getting irritated. He was getting agitated. He was in a downward spiral. He didn't let it go far enough that he got in a situation where he then looked to self-medicate or something like that. He got help. And he wants his colleagues, if they face a situation like he did, he wants them to be able to get the help. He thinks other police officers will be able to recognize that better than, say, an employee assistance program, which he started out with and didn't really help him that much.
Right. He said that the people that he was working with, they didn't seem to have a lot of experience with police officers.
That's right. And so there are people out there. There's a woman that a lot of the departments have worked with. Her name's Kathy Davis. She's a psychotherapist and a trauma consultant. She's gone in and helped officers in Yarmouth and really across the Cape. And now she's going to help the Sandwich Department. They got a $5,000 grant. She's going to help them put together this peer support team there. Officers will run it themselves. There'll be some, it'll be like a safe haven for them, you know, to go to and say, look, I need help. Can you help me find, if it's alcohol or substance abuse, can you help me get into a treatment program? Or if they've got some sort of traumatic event that they've been through, can you help me with that? I thought Josh had this great quote, and he said, police officers are good at helping other people. We're not always good about helping ourselves. Mm. You know, and I thought it was really powerful. I give him a lot of credit for opening up.
Sure.
You know, police officers are supposed to be macho and, you know, they're strong and, you know, but they're people just like we are, and they're affected by these things. I interviewed Kathy Davis about this as well, and she said, you know, they go to a scene, and it might be something that they've seen before. You know, as bad as it is, someone ODing, for example, they go to a scene, it's a 39-year-old guy, that's horrible. But he also looks like their brother.
Right.
You know, and then they don't understand that that's affecting them in a part of their brain that's traumatizing them. And so, you know, it is progressive, as you said. It'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds. It's something that Barnstable is also doing and Yarmouth is looking to do. So,
well, George, thanks for covering that story, writing that story. And thanks for coming in today. George Brennan is a reporter at the Cape Cod Times. He joined us in our Woods Hole studio. He's on Twitter. You can find him at GPB227.
That's correct.
Okay. And thanks to our other contributors, Tim Wood of the Cape Cod Chronicle, Josh Balling of the Nantucket Inquirer and Mirror, and Nelson Siegelman of the Martha's Vineyard Times. I want to thank you for listening to WCAI. I'm Sean Corcoran.
The Friday News Roundup on The Point is produced by Sean Corcoran. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.